Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Here we go. It's therapy time. It's the end of the week. You've been holding it in. It's time to release. Release the hounds on someone or something. Who or what is on your list? 615-737-1025. We've got a great prize attached. Tickets to see the Zach Brown Band at Bridgestone Arena. That is going to be Saturday night, April 25th. So if you're looking for something to do on a Saturday night in downtown Nashville, there's going to be no better option than that right there. That is it'll be a sold-out show, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. For
he's,
sure.
He's pretty popular.
He is.
That's and now you've show. Got an opportunity to be a part of it. But you got to get involved. 737-1025. How this works is you can name names. You don't have to. We would prefer it. But you don't have to. Something that's made you mad. Something that has really kind of ticked you off. Someone or something. And take it however you want. Just keep it clean. I know you've been itching.
Yes.
To get going, so get us started.
All right. So I have two.
And by the way, real quick, last week? I did the thing in Sam's Club.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just glad. What I learned after that show is I'm glad that I'm not the only person that feels that way, because people came out of the woodworks feeling the same way. It bothers them to no end, and I guess it's not just Sam's. I guess they are doing it at Costco and other places. Like, you know, can we just go in and get something that we want and not be hounded about something that we're not there to get?
Right.
I mean, what is the percentages of people like, you know, I came in here to get a big bundle of paper towels, but now that you've shown me your windows, I'm just going to get new windows for my house. Like, who's really done that? I don't know. I guess maybe the fact that they're there, I guess maybe people do. I don't know how you get talked into something, or you're like, oh, yeah, you know what? I could use some new windows. Sure. Yeah. Let me stop what I'm doing and tell me about it. Who are those people? I'm running as far away from them as I can.
I just want to go in and look around sometimes.
I just want to go, right. I just want to go do my thing. Anyway, the point is, I'm glad there's other people that felt the same way, too, because we got a lot of response. Okay.
That was a popular one.
Sorry about that. Floor is yours.
All right. So I got two. I have a serious one and then a funny one. I'll start with the serious one, and they're actually both related. So we've talked a lot this week about the Daytona 500 and the crash with Ryan Newman. He is out of the hospital. He is recovering. He's not racing this weekend. Ross Chastain is filling in the sixth car, but it's absolutely amazing that he was able to walk out of the hospital with the hands of his two little girls in his. So very, very cool and awesome that he is okay. But my list, the people that got on Twitter and were bashing NASCAR and saying that, you know, they're never going to figure it out and they're never going to wake up, and, you know, how dangerous it is, and these drivers, you know, getting hurt and possibly worse, because at the time, after the race, I mean, we were all very, very concerned and assuming the worst with Ryan Newman. NASCAR, the organization, I know racing it has happened, but NASCAR in particular is what I'm talking about, has not had a fatality since Dale Earnhardt. That is 20 years. That is remarkable, and that shows you how far the cars have come and how much they have put in to making these cars safe. Ryan Newman's car from Daytona is at the R&D center in Charlotte, North Carolina, being taken apart with a magnifying glass so they can figure out how to make the cars even safer. That is what they do. And so anyone that was bashing NASCAR and saying that, you know, they won't figure it out and they don't know what they're doing from a safety standpoint, you're on the list because you're just not informed.
You just made the list.
It's a dangerous sport. And all these guys and women that are in it too, they know that. They know that it's not foolproof. But Ryan Newman walking out of that hospital after we all saw the crash and assumed the worst is amazing and shows you how much NASCAR and the teams and the tracks and everybody have put in to making the sport as safe as it can possibly be. Soft walls. You know, one thing we talk about with the Nashville Speedway and the improvements that they have to put in there, well, they're putting up the safer barrier, which is technology that has made the sport safer. I mean, you're going to get hurt. It hurts to go 200 miles an hour and hit a wall or another car. But I think they have done a tremendous job. So that's one. That's the serious one.
You realize that he may have helped save his own life, right?
Yeah, because of the Newman bar.
Yeah.
There was a
for people who don't know,
yep.
In 2009, he was involved in a crash at Talladega. If you don't know the background on Ryan Newman, he went to Purdue. He was an engineer. That's a really good engineering school at Purdue. And that's his background. And he campaigned NASCAR to help because of this crash that he went through to get a safety, like another bar. I guess it wasn't on the driver's side door, right?
Well, I thought it was the
or
one.
Is it up?
It's above the above, window.
But it's on the driver's side.
Yeah, but, I think the Newman bar is the one that is above. It's either above the driver's side, and then they put one across the windshield.
It's in front of the roll cage.
Yeah.
And people call it the Newman bar.
Yep.
And if you see the incident, you see how much. And by the way, when he hit Corey LaJoie's guy.
Corey LaJoie is who is thanking him, too.
Yeah, right. That incident was on his driver's side. I mean, the whole thing. That may have played a big part in him walking out of the hospital with his two daughters because of something that he went to NASCAR and said, you might want to do this. I have an engineering background, and this, after just going through what I went through at Talladega, you might want to do this. And luckily they did, and it may have saved his life and another driver's.
Yeah, and it saved other ones. So now for the funny one. Now we got serious. Let's get to the funny one. Now, Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500. Back-to-back Daytona 500 wins for him. He is now a three-time Daytona 500 champion. Shout out to Wayne Beggarly on Twitter for sending me this because I laughed for a good 10 minutes at the video that Denny Hamlin posted on Twitter. Here it is.
Hey, wait. Denny Hamlin. Who the hell is Denny Hamlin?
So a news outlet, and I have yet to identify the news outlet in New York. It's one of those buildings that has the ticker. Said Denny Hamlin.
You talking about in Times Square?
Yeah. Denny, he has the video. And what's funny about it is there's a FedEx truck, Denny Hamlin's sponsor, parked right in front of this building. But the ticker goes by and it says Denny Hamlin wins the Daytona 500. And so Denny posted on his Twitter.
Hey, wait. Denny Hamlin. Who the hell is Denny Hamlin?
Oh, my.
So Wayne Beggarly sent me that. So to this news outlet that
you just made the list.
That can't get the three-time Daytona 500 champion's name right. It's Denny Hamlin.
Yikes. I think every week we should always at least start or make sure we implement this, have the bell ready, Elijah. We should always say the Houston Astros are on the list.
So
that should always be included every week.
Are the Houston Astros replacing?
I didn't say they're replacing anything. I just said they need to also be a part of kind of the weekly bell.
Yeah.
They're officially bell worthy now. Or on the, I guess, the bell list.
Yeah, we need to make sure that the Astros make it every Friday. They deserve to be on the list. Also, Mike Fiers has acknowledged that he's been receiving death threats.
That's ridiculous.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
Death threats? Like, how stupid of a human being are you as a fan to get a death threat to? I don't even know how you do that. I don't. Is that It's not like I don't think it went to his number. I don't think they wrote a letter anymore. I don't think that's how it works anymore. They sent him a letter. I guess social media. But for you to send Mike Fiers a death threat as a fan,
just dumb.
Like, how moronic are you?
That's just
because he told on your team, and he was telling the truth. So anybody that took part in sending Mike Fiers a death threat,
you just made the list.
You're definitely on the list.
Real quick,
you're a moron.
I looked this up. The Newman bar is on the front of the roll cage, so it's across the windshield because a car landed on top of his and caved the roof in, and so the Newman bar is across the front,
which probably came in very handy for LaJoy's car. Let's start things off up in Gallatin. Mike, get us going.
Man, I was totally going to throw the Astros on the list too, so thanks for jumping in on that.
Well, we can pile on.
Let's do it again. But hey, this is so I think I have found my motorized scooter pet peeve, and I'm putting AirPod users on the list. So
you just made the list.
If you're wearing your AirPods and you're coming in to eat at an establishment that requires you to go across a line where you pick and choose your food, please end your AirPod conversation before you get in the line. I was serving a customer last night in Hendersonville who was having a full-fledged AirPod conversation that could have flowed with the answers of the questions that I was making with their burrito. So I ended up putting ingredients and toppings when they were saying that yes and nodding their head to their AirPod conversation instead of what they were wanting on their food. So I had to remake this dude's food twice because he wouldn't hang up his AirPod call.
So he's talking, acknowledging a phone conversation while he's ordering food?
Yeah. Yeah, so these people are trying to carry two conversations at the same time. Like, they're trying to smile, nod.
Oh, my goodness.
But also are talking and having a full-fledged conversation at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
So what makes this one person in particular, though, even funny, and I can't even make this stuff up, is the guy carrying this conversation all the way through the line and through three different people asking him questions, including payment at the end. The guy's conversation must have been so important that when he opened the door, he hit somebody else on the way out. Like, he literally, like, into somebody else. So this guy's a menace to society, and this AirPod guy needs to get his rope. But again, hey, if you own AirPods, they're cool. I get it. But take them out before you order your food, please.
Oh, good call. Good call, Mike. That's insane. Come on. Especially, you have to be specific if you're going through a line and – you're picking toppings or you're – come on. By the way, if a phone call is that important, don't walk into the establishment yet. Finish things up. How about that? Unbelievable. That's a good one. Lillian, who or what is on your list?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, so this is going to sound really bad, but I'm going to put my son on the list.
How old is he?
He's 11 months old.
11 months old, okay.
So I'm going to put, I guess, babies in general will kind of go into this category. But he's very demanding and can't really get anything done. But also he nurses and he likes to bite and scratch and claw. And then he gets mad at me when I put him down. So it's all my fault.
He doesn't like. He does not like this conversation at all.
He doesn't like this conversation. So he's not. Yeah, he's not happy with me right now either. But I guess I'm putting my son on the list.
You just made the list.
When, Lillian, is your son happy? In your opinion,
he's okay. So he's happy when he's fed.
Okay.
He's happy 99% of the time. So he's not a bad baby. He's got us trained. he's got us trained to do what he wants to do. And as long as we do what he wants to do, he's fine.
He's basically a diva is what you're telling us.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Interesting. So, I can't wait to hear how this plays out. If this has happened in 11 months, you may be in trouble.
It kind of makes me afraid of the toddler years. You know, it kind of makes me afraid of the terrible twos and threes age that we haven't got to yet.
Have you ever heard anybody described as, I like them, but they're kind of a handful? You know, you may hear that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, Lillian, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
That's a good one.
That.
No one is exempt from the list. There is no age requirement.
No, that may be our I don't think it's maybe. I think that is the first time an 11-month-old has been put on the list.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'm surprised it took this long. Harmon, who or what is on your list?
Okay, I've got an 11-month-old, man. Poor guy.
It's tough today. It's tough out there today.
Yeah. I've got two things to put on the list. The first one is stores that have double doors that have one locked for whatever reason.
Thank you.
They don't have it blocked. They just have it locked. So you're trying to go in. You can't get in, and then you have to go to the other door. You try to go out, and you're like, wait a minute. Why is this locked?
Good point. Really good point.
My second one, and I'm sorry, I hate to say it because I love everybody at that station, but I have to put one. I've been saving this one. Okay. I have to put 102.5, the game, on the list because I loved D-Mace and Braden Gall. Miss those guys. And I wasn't listening the Monday they were gone, and then I turned in Tuesday and they weren't there, and I find out through their Twitter that they're not there anymore, and I was just not happy about it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Harmon. Did you get everything? Was that everything?
That was it.
Okay, man. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome.
Well, we love those guys, too.
Indeed.
But by the way, the first one that he said, that's very frustrating.
Yeah, that happens very to me all the time.
You grab it, you jerk it, and it's locked.
Yeah, why are they both locked? That's what I
like. Well, he's asking the right question. Like, why is this door locked? I don't know if somebody forgot to unlock it or it's being done for a reason. It usually feels like, why did somebody just forgot to unlock it? And nobody's told them, like, hey, could you come out here and unlock this and make it easier for your customers? Right? Because usually that happens in the middle of the day and you're like, has this been happening all day? And how has nobody said anything?
Yeah, because one time I was going into a place.
Would you say something?
What, to the place?
Yeah.
Well, I actually did because I was going in rather swiftly, and I just plowed right into the door because it was locked.
And did you say? So what did you say to
him? I was like, why is this locked?
You said that just like that to them. And what did they say?
They just kind of looked at me like.
And nobody did anything.
Yeah. Gave me a blank stare. I always love when I, have a complaint for somebody and they just sit there and
just stare at you.
Me.
Yeah. We'll come back. Who or what is on your list? 737-1025. It's been an interesting start to it. We've got great tickets on the line. Zach Brown Band at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 25th. More phone calls next. Who or what on your list? 737-1025. Zach Brown Band, Bridgestone Arena, Saturday, April 25th. Let's go to Steve, by the way, 737-1025. Steve, who or what's on your list?
Hey, guys. Who's on my list? It's grocery stores and staffing at those grocery stores. In particularly in the evening, a certain store north of here and from Cincinnati, Ohio. I won't name the store. Y'all can figure it out. Anyway, huge chain of stores. They close their registers at 9 o'clock and force you to go 9 p.m. and force you to go through this self checkout line.
Yep.
I don't care for that. I'm a middle aged guy. I'm able to do that. But what I witnessed a few weeks ago, it was right at 9 o'clock. I was the last one in an actual checkout line where they got paid to do what they're supposed to do. And me as a customer happily give them my money for the groceries I'm purchasing. And I have to check out my own food to pay for it. Anyway, an elderly lady in a motorized cart pulls up behind me and they commence to tell her, no, ma'am, this is the last customer. It's 9 o'clock. You'll have to go to self-checkout. So, me being who I am and not being able to not say something, had to say something and let them know, wait a minute. This is a senior and elderly person in a cart you know, and you're going to force her to go through self-checkout. Well, they quickly change their mind. But I should not have to do that.
No.
Common sense should tell a person to be courteous enough. And this wasn't a young, I'll say kid, 20-year-old, 18-year-old that did this. This was someone that should be well enough along in years to understand courtesy and how people should be treated. So they made my list because, you know, I don't like self-checking out. I hate it when you go in there late at night and your self-checkout lines are full and someone's buying $250 worth of groceries with $200 worth of coupons and they can't get it all figured out. And you're standing in line just to get a loaf of bread and a carton of milk for an hour behind self-checkout people. They made my list.
You just made the list.
Good for you, Steve. Do people still use coupons?
I thought it was all digital. Yeah.
No. You still clip coupons?
Back from my days at being a cashier at Target, I think I maybe have received 7 coupons in 2 years working there. Maybe 7.
Remember the show, what was it called, Extreme Couponing?
It was like on TLC?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like these people, like literally that's what they do?
It's obsessive.
Yeah. Like they basically, their goal is to go fill up their cart and basically not pay anything at checkout.
Right.
And they buy in bulk. Whatever the coupon basically says, they're buying it.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
A whole cart and full of stuff and maybe pay like $5 for all of it.
But do people still use, they still cut out coupons?
Hey, I still get them in the mail all the time.
I just kind of feel like everything's all digital now. It's a whole lot easier than carrying that stuff around.
Who uses paper anymore?
You definitely do not. You try to trim as much as possible.
Save them trees, baby.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Bill, who or what's on your list?
Yes, I'm a delivery driver. I won't say who I work for. But just something to those out there that if we're out here delivering to you, especially in elements of snow and rain, and you've got a $50 or $40 order and you don't tip because you think the delivery fee is the fee that we get, you've made the list, in my opinion, because, you know, we work hard. That's how we live. We don't get paid by the hour. We get paid by our tips. And when you don't tip us, you know, that doesn't help with our mileage and that doesn't help with our gas. And it's rude.
Bill, can I ask you a question? By the way, I agree with you. Do people, is there a good enough understanding? I don't know if people truly are not educated on the process or maybe they just didn't feel like tipping, which that's wrong, everything you laid out. But yeah. I wonder, do people know, do people know that fee doesn't go to you?
Most of them order online for the company that I work for.
Uh-huh.
So it comes through and it plainly says delivery fee is not part of the tip.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good.
But I guess they feel that it is, or they feel that they're paying a delivery fee. Well, I'm paying a delivery fee. They get part of that. We get none of the delivery fee. That goes to the company automatically.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. I'm sorry
you're
that's
welcome.
Happening.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
I'm glad that their site lays it. I feel like sometimes it is confusing for people that they just assume, and we know that's dangerous, assume that fee is going to them.
Right.
Because sometimes you'll see a delivery fee, it's like $3.75 or something, and it's like, oh, that's $4. You're thinking, okay, that's good. That's a good enough tip. And you realize, or
the delivery
they don't
fee
realize
doesn't
that
them,
it yeah. doesn't go to them. Yeah. By the way, Nate on Twitter says, he tweeted at us, I still clip coupons. Gotta save, man. I didn't say I was against coupons. I am not against coupons.
Look,
at all.
By the way, speaking of Nate, he almost went on both the good and the bad list for his I saw him out for his drink choices. Jaeger.
Yeah. Yuck.
That's rough.
Ryan, who or what's on your list?
Thank you, Nate.
Hey guys. It's going to sound weird, but I'm going to put China on my list because my job, for me to operate at my job, which is a warehouse where we receive Apple products and ship it out, we cannot receive them right now because of the ban, because Chinese people over there want to eat raw bats and mice and everything else, animals they can get their hands on, and not cook it. and then get diseases like the coronavirus going around right now.
Okay, is that it?
And yeah, that's about it.
Thank you, Ryan. But we have had a variety, quite a range of different things put on a list. Final one, Al, who or what's on your list?
Gentlemen, great show as always. Let's
Thanks.
Kick this up a notch. I'm going to flip this to a positive someone on my list. Now, I just got in my car and just listened to the radio, so I hope I'm not duplicating. I'm going to put one Mr. Jeff Fisher on the list.
Mm. You just made the list!
To the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. We know what he did for this community. You know, your medium, he transformed the city. It's a sports city. His philanthropy, all of his efforts, what made the Tennessee Titans and what we know today, the radio industry, you look around at the businesses, et cetera, et cetera. He is on my favorite list, Mr. Jeff Fisher.
Okay, Al.
He's a no-brainer, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. So he put him on the good list. That was not the naughty list. Our lists are about naughty things. He's on the good list. Let's bring in our buddy EJ Raddick from NHL Network. And EJ, thanks for joining us as always. Appreciate the visit.
Hey, my pleasure.
Let's start with EJ's naughty list before we get into hockey talk. Who or what has made you mad this week that you would like to air with us and feel a little bit better after saying it? Anybody made you mad?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody's really made me that mad this week.
Really?
You know, I try. Listen, as you get to this stage in life, I try to be a little bit more, peaceful in things and try to be a little more understanding where I can be. So I would say at this point, nobody, you know, has made me that mad yet that I feel I need to air those grievances. But I'll tell you this. If somebody does, I'll call you guys
okay.
and let you know.
Okay, so telling us you're a calmer, gentler EJ Raddick these days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm involved in youth hockey in my area with my son, and some of the people involved in that make me pretty mad, but I don't think your listeners care about any of those people, so we're just going to move right on.
All right, let's do it. Thanks for playing along. All right, looks like the Bruins and the Ducks have struck a deal. What do you make of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those deals that works for everybody, right? The Bruins get a player in Cache, who's a pretty good player. He's got some speed. He's got some skill. He's got one more year on a contract that's relatively cap-friendly. I think it's 2.6 against the cap. So, you know, and the Bruins are looking for that kind of second-line offensive help. So there's a guy that can fit, you know, what they're looking for. Now, maybe not as high-end as some of the other players they've been linked to, you know, like a Palmieri or a Kreider, or they were in the mix for Blake Coleman, but still speed, skill, and some upside there, and under contract. So that's the first thing. So they get something they want. They also get, but they have to pay for it. They get to move David Backes' contract out, and, that was kind of one that was hanging around their neck a little bit. Self-inflicted wound. They signed David as a free agent to a longer-term deal, and he's in his early 30s. Hasn't worked out as the contract has moved along. So they are able to move that off the books, and with the exception of the 25% retention on the remainder of the deal. And to do that, they had to give the Anaheim Ducks a first-round pick in the upcoming draft. So, that's for Anaheim on their side. They're willing to move the player, and they were willing to take on, they have the cap room to take on Backes, but they wanted to be paid, basically, to do it. And that's what happens. When you have cap room and you have cap space, you're able to kind of weaponize that, for the lack of a better term, and then get an asset. And we've seen it over the course of time in the league since we've gone to, the cap world, and they've taken advantage of that. So they get themselves, as a rebuilding group, they get themselves an extra first-round draft pick. So I think everybody kind of got what they wanted there. And, in the end, we'll see if Kasha can come in and be a really, find a chemistry with David Krejci. Then all of a sudden the Boston Bruins might really have something because they'll have some consistent scoring on that second line.
EJ, I was a B and C student in school. That's not great. It's not horrible. allowed me to graduate.
I'm with you.
You know, allowed me to graduate, you. But you know, it's not sexy. I'm not. You know, going to pretend like you know. It's kind of like this trade deadline. There's been a lot of movement. You know, some B's and C's, but not really any A's. Anything really jumping out that's shiny? Do you think there's going to be any shiny carrots before Monday that get moved?
Well, I mean, the shiniest one that's been talked about a lot is Chris Kreider with the Rangers, and I think he can be a difference maker. I mean, he is a big, strong, fast, really skilled guy, goes to the net hard, experienced in big games, played in a lot of them for the Rangers and was a good player in big games for that team. He could be somebody that could really help push a team forward. You know, like he could push the Dallas Stars forward. They need a little more scoring. He could push, you know, the Colorado Avalanche forward with the injuries they have there. I mean, he could push a lot of teams forward, but it'll be at a higher price. And, you know, you have to ask yourself the teams, you know, want to pay that price for a guy who's can be a UFA at the end of the season. So he's the one, you know, of the guys that have been out there and are still out there that we know of, he's the one that I would say is the shiniest, to use your term, the shiniest object. Now, will someone like Henrik Lundqvist waive his no-trade clause or no-move clause and be willing to be moved and go, you know, maybe to Colorado where they could perhaps, depending upon who you talk to, use an upgrade in goal? It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So, you know, in terms of other shiny pieces, it's hard to say. I mean, I think it's, you know, when you have players that fit that category, I think if you're going to move them, you'd like to move them in, you know, at the draft, because then you have, you know, 30 or so other teams that can get in on, and everybody kind of knows their cap situation. When you do it at the deadline, you're dealing with a limited number of teams, and probably, you know, you're in a situation where it's harder to get real return on the value. So, you know, I never want to say never, because things happen in this league and, you know, things that we don't expect do happen. But I suspect that it'll continue to be a lot of bit pieces kind of moving around to different places for draft picks. I think that's where we're at.
EJ Raddick on the line with us. NHL Network is where you can find him. Does a tremendous job covering and talking about the league. So as you can imagine, in this market in Nashville, we're trying to figure out. We do a weekly with David Poile on this show. We constantly ask the question to David, you know, what are you thinking? So as we sit here on this Friday before the trading deadline, add, subtract, or stand pat, what do you think is probably the answer we'll know on Monday afternoon about what the Predators did or didn't do?
Well, I think that the West being wide open and the Predators having invested heavily in this team already, and the fact that you got games in hand and you're right there despite having kind of a shaky, less than hoped for first half or so. I think if they could add maybe another body on defense that fits within the cap room they have, I think they would do that. I think they've invested, you know, a lot on the offense now, and I think it's just up to those guys to really be better. I know that, you know, it was funny. I was thinking about, the team and the injuries they've had this year, and so many teams have had a lot of injuries. But, like, Arvidsson was the guy that got hurt, and he got hit in that Bertuzzo hit him with that cheap shot, and he ended up getting suspended for a few games. Probably should have been a few more than that. And he's come back and he's struggled. And, you know, that's a reminder to me. Guys get hurt. And it doesn't necessarily – they come back to play. It doesn't mean they're necessarily completely healthy and where you want them to be. So they got to hope they can get more out of him and some of those other top-end forwards they have. And Saros has played better in goal of late. And, Pekka's had a few, you know, more hopeful games of late. So, you know, for me, I said it, I think, talking to you guys earlier in the year, and it was one of the reasons I thought it was probably wise to make a coaching change, was I think they just needed to clean up the way they play in the D zone, and I think a lot of times that's within the system that you use, and so maybe a little more help there on the, you know, that back end of their defense, and it seems like things are moving a little bit more in the right direction for them, so that's what I would do. I don't think you're subtracting just because you've made a lot of, you know, you've made
a lot of investments there with that group. And in the conference this year, you guys know it. It is crazy in the West this year. I mean, you get in this year, anybody who gets in is going to have a chance to get on a run. So I think if you're David Poyle and you're that experienced and you're watching the tea leaves kind of unfold, you're just hoping that your group can kind of get to where you thought they could be as the season winds down here, get a spot in the playoffs, and then, you know, hopefully things are – you have that momentum to make a push.
EJ, with the prices of different players right now, and, you know, there's not that much out there, do you think it's going to make it harder for David Poyle to, if he were to get an offer for somebody like a Mykhail Granlund or a Craig Smith, two of his UFAs that are coming up, do you think it's going to make it harder for him to say no with some of these contenders trying to add?
Well, I think he's got to look at, you know, when you have UFAs, that is a consideration. You got to look at them and say, okay, what do we think about the future? Are we going to make a pitch for this player? And, you know, do we have somebody at the American League level or somebody on our team that we could kind of move up and can we kind of, you know, can we move on with the player, like without a player, one or two of those guys? And, you know, I do think there's, you know, there's a pretty deep group of players offensively there. I don't think they've played up to what they can. So I do, yeah, David, probably think about it just because, you know, there might be, if a team is interested and they're willing to pay a significant pick or a good prospect, I think you have to think about it. But again, that West is wide open this year. And I would, if I'm any of those teams, and if I think I would love to be in that mix of those eight teams and have a shot to get to the Cup final this year because, you know, we saw what happened last year. St. Louis was a real good team, but, I mean, they were in last place on January 1st, and they went on to win it. And not everything's going to happen like that every year for sure, but the Western Conference this year has been up and down, and I would love to be in the playoffs if I'm in the West this year.
EJ Raddick is with us from the NHL Network. You can catch him on NHL Now at 3 o'clock Central, but also their trade deadline coverage on Monday beginning at 7 a.m. Central Time. There are a lot of questions with this team. I mean, we've asked them and tried to answer them all year long, EJ. But one of the biggest to me right now is Philip Forsberg. This is someone that a lot of us felt he'd be a 40-goal scorer this year. He's 25 years old. You can say he's probably not even in his prime yet and has a lot left in the tank for sure. But he's at 18 goals. And it's just something that's puzzling because I think for this team to be successful – they need Philip Forsberg to score.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, like I say, you know, Ryan Johansson and Arvidsson, I mean, those are the big-time players. And every single team that's a good team needs their high-end players to produce and to, you know, earn the money they make in a salary cap league. And, you know, the thing for me that I saw when I saw the Preds I saw them on at the Winter Classic, and I saw them subsequently after the coaching change against the Devils in New Jersey. Is the pushback there? You know, is that pushback that you want in games there? And against Dallas, it wasn't there. And, you know, they had a 2-0 lead in that game, as you guys well know. And, you know, the Dallas Stars just kind of huffed and puffed and got back in the game, and there was no pushback. And against the Devils, there was more of that. And in recent times, there's been more of that. But, you know, we know Philip Forsberg's had a body of work that he's been a goal scorer in this league. He's kind of been a streaky scorer in some ways, like a lot of guys are. So they just got to, again, you got to believe that he's going to figure it out and find his way. And, you know, with some of these other guys underperforming, that impacts your high-end guys as well because, you know, all of a sudden the performance, the play of players around them isn't quite as good, and all of a sudden it's harder for them to do the things they do. So, you know, there's a lot of guys when I look at that roster this year that I'd say, boy, I think you can get more out of them. And, you know, they need to kind of find a way to get those guys going over this next 6 weeks. And I think they can do it because the body of work for a lot of those players has been really good over the years.
So you brought up the West being wide open, and I'll just use these four teams that are fighting for the wild card spots: Winnipeg, Calgary, Arizona, Nashville. I keep waiting for one of them to grab the baton and run away with it. And I can't figure out, you know, obviously I cover this team in Nashville, so, you know, naturally I want to think it's them, but they're all very talented. Which one's going to do it? Do you think that there is a team that's going to start to pull away and show that they belong?
No.
Fair answer.
I think it's going to be much of the same because it's really competitive. The teams are close and they're going to play one another, and there's 3-point games. And I get the sense that this is just going to teams battling it out right down the stretch, and it's going to continue to be close. But I think all of them have the ability to get on a little bit of a run, and I'm sure that's what David Boyle and John Hines are hoping there in Nashville. And you know, Winnipeg, I'd say this. You know, Winnipeg was decimated in the offseason with changes to their roster on the right side of the defense. I mean, when you think last year they had Trouba, Bufflin, and Myers on the right side of their defense, and, you know, those guys are all gone. And now, you know, they have Neil Pionk, who's come over from the Rangers, who's been really good for them. And they just went out and got Dylan DeMello. I mean, I got to give Winnipeg a lot of credit, and I think a lot of it goes to Connor Hellebuck, who has played really good this year. I mean, 2 years ago, he was excellent. Last year, he was, I thought, kind of average. But this year, for the most part of the season, he's the guy who's played a lot of games and has been really good for them. And that's why the Winnipeg Jets are hanging around. And, you know, they're a team that I've kind of underestimated, I think, because of that change on defense, all those players. But there's something going on with that group in that room. They've hung in there this year, and they seem to really, you know, for the lack of a better term, they really care. And you got to want it. You got to be emotional, and you got to want it on a night-to-night basis. And I give that group a lot of credit because to lose three players to your defense, three right-shot guys like that, and to still be sitting where they're sitting, I think it's a real testament to the guys in that room and the coaching staff because in a lot of circumstances, that thing could have capsized this year, and they're still hanging in there.
We'll be watching today and certainly on Monday. We appreciate the visit, as always, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. My pleasure. And if I think of anybody that makes me mad, I'm calling you back.
You call us. We'll be waiting.
All right.
EJ Raddick, NHL Network. Right now, he said he's in a good place. Nobody's made him mad.
Yeah, he sounded happy.
Youth hockey can do that, though.
Yeah,
sure. You sports, period. Come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.
Uh-huh, honey.
You got a chance to hit the road with the Preds. This year it'll be in Columbus, Ohio. Preds and Blue Jackets, Nationwide Arena, Saturday, March 14th. Tickets are on sale right now. You can purchase tickets, visit thegamenashville.com, tell you how. Trip is organized by simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. Pick 6 coming up at 1 o'clock. Our prize this week will be a pair of tickets to see Collective Soul at the Ryman Auditorium. That'll be on Monday, March 2nd. That'll be a fun show. March 2nd at the Ryman. That's what's on the line for this week's Pick 6 winner. So that's coming up at the top of the hour. So Kasha goes from the Ducks to the Bruins. Boston sends a first-round pick, a prospect, and David Backes. In return, I'll say it again, this trading deadline is going to be a B or a C. It's just going to be kind of a blah.
Eh.
It's going to be
There's
kind of
not
a
much there.
Eh, trade deadline. Doesn't mean trades won't happen. Doesn't mean there's not going to be activity. Heck, there's already been a lot of activity to this point. But it's not going to wow anybody. What we were throwing out before, the wows in the NFL offseason is going to be much greater than the wow at the trading deadline. Doesn't mean NHL's had a lot of wows at the trading deadline. Lots. Last year was
active.
Wow.
And the Preds were right in the middle of it.
Blue Jackets were in the middle of it.
Yep.
Preds. I mean, there was some wows. Vegas usually is good for a good wow at the trading deadline. Winnipeg's been good for some wows at the trading deadline. Don't think that's going to happen now. I don't think their trade qualifies as a wow. It doesn't. But it's just going to be kind of a, eh. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, okay. You know,
that's cool.
Not whatever. Horrible, not great. Just kind of, okay.
Unless there's one that just comes out of left field that we didn't see coming. But I don't.
What would that be? I mean, who? Like speculate. Like people always speculate. I mean,
if New Jersey traded PK and another team, you know, took that deal or most of that contract, I would go wow. I would say wow.
Well, that would be a wow, but I mean, I would say highly unlikely.
But you know, in the spirit of your question, mm-hmm. what would make you go wow? That would be one.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could come up with wow scenarios. I'm talking about something that would have at least what would you give that chance? 1 to 2%?
Yeah.
Chance of happening?
Probably 2%.
Yeah. So I'm talking about something that at least has a little bit greater odds of, like, actually happening.
I mean, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Know.
That's why I'm saying it's like, just kind
I
of just, a...
Okay. If Lundqvist... waives his no-move clause and gets traded to Colorado, I would say that that's a big deal. Because I don't see him doing that.
Yeah, I don't either.
He seems...
like he's going...
He seems like a Ranger for life.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it feels.
So I don't see that happening. But that would make me go, wow.
You think Panarin's glad he went to the Rangers?
I mean, right now, no.
I mean, he picked that, so...
Yeah, because they paid him. Right now, no. But... You know, I think that's a question you have to ask in a year or two. I mean, it just depends on the other moves that they make to try and get better and build that team. But look, you've seen other players go there and it hasn't worked. Now, they did go to the Stanley Cup final. What was it? It's been about 5 years ago now? 4 or 5 years?
That was a little bit longer than that.
It could
no?
be. It could
a little
be.
Bit longer than that.
Yeah, but look, you gotta try, and you know Panarin wanted to get paid, and he did, and he wanted to play on the big stage, and he is, so you know he knows what he signed up for. But as to your original question, I don't see there being a big move.
I don't either.
I think it'll be one of those.
Just think it's gonna be a okay.
You know,
alrighty, sure.
Because it's just so tight right now, especially in the West.
2013-2014 season.
Okay.
So I was a little bit past that.
I knew it was.
I knew it was against Los Angeles.
Yeah,
just,
and it was in recent memory. But
yeah.
Been a while.
So it's been, what did I say that was, the 13-14 season? So
yeah.
Seven years ago.
We talk about the West being tight. I mean, the wild card race in the East is... relatively tight too. There's about four teams that are right there together. So,
you know, going back to our earlier discussion with Adam Venkin from The Athletic, if truly these games do matter, I don't believe that, but you know, there's school of thought by many that David Poile is going to react to these two games. Considering everything we've talked about with this team, if they don't get at least 3 points in these two games, at least.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, it's a fail. Columbus is just ravished with injuries. I can't keep up with how many bodies keep falling. By the way, another defenseman, they get word today, out 8 to 10 weeks. Did you see that?
I did not.
I mean, right wing. Did I say defenseman? I didn't mean defenseman.
Right wing.
Right winger. Borkstrand, out. Yeah.
Look, they're decimated right now. So, yeah.
Seth Jones been out. Atkinson, out. I mean, what Blackhawks have been, well, they won like 2 games in the last 10.
Yeah. Borkstrand's out 8 to 10.
Yeah. He's done for the season.
Yeah. But look. I think if they can...
You have to get 3 points. I personally...
I think you need four.
The situation you're in, I mean, I
think you need four.
We have to be talking about 4 points on Monday. We do.
Because, I mean, you do that, that puts you at 69. Now, Winnipeg is at 69, and they're in the first wild card spot. Calgary, Arizona at 68. I don't know their schedules offhand. But you have to. Calgary plays tonight. They host Boston. And then tomorrow, The Predators obviously play Arizona, host Tampa Bay. So, and Winnipeg is at Philadelphia. So,
got a tweet from Spencer letting me know that there's a big high school hockey championship game tonight out in your area.
Oh, yeah?
The Ford Ice Center in Bellevue.
Very cool.
8:30 tonight, NBA in Brentwood.
Oh, awesome.
At 8:30. So there you go. Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, NBA and Brentwood for a high school hockey championship. Hope that's a great game tonight. So good luck to NBA and Brentwood tonight, and we'll see how that all plays out. We'll come back, start the fourth and final hour with Pick Six. That's next.